Here, you got your fingers loosened up to turn through the pages of your Bible. Okay, wonderful. Please be seated, and sure thankful and blessed to be here to share God's Word. And what I'd like to do is to teach a simple truth that I trust will help you in your believing the promises of God, as well as bless you in your fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Now, at this time of the year, the focus is on a little baby born some 2,000 years ago in a manger. You know, we all see that cow and sheep and camels and bales of hay and these shepherds looking around and stuff. We get that holiday picture. But that little baby grew up to be the greatest man to ever live, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I come not to talk to you about the baby, Jesus, but the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. My focus this morning is on the Lord aspect of Jesus Christ. He is not just Jesus, the Savior. He's not just the Christ, the Anointed One, but He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Master of our life, who is our Anointed Savior. The significance of Him being Lord and the recognition of Him being Lord opens the door for every person on the face of this earth to receive eternal life and a fellowship of love, peace, and deliverance, unparalleled by anyone else who would call themselves Lord. Let's go to the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 14. Who is this man, the Lord Jesus Christ? You tell me who you think Jesus is, and I'll tell you how far you'll go spiritually. We've heard that statement before, haven't we? If you think Jesus Christ is some imaginary story figure as a front man for Santa Claus so we can celebrate the season, you have very little to expect from God. If you think He is the child of Joseph and Mary, you'll never have a full, fulfilling life. If you think He is some great religious figure, along with Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Confucius, you'll be disappointed at the end of your lifetime. But let's look into God's Word who Jesus Christ is. Chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, either Jesus Christ was telling the truth or He lied. He's either the way, the truth, or the life, and He's the only way to God Almighty, or He's not. He's the biggest hoax around. Well, I believe He is telling the truth here. And if He is, then He's the one we get to know. We want to know Him who is the way, the truth, and the life that has access to God Almighty. It says in Acts 4:12, I'll quote it to you, neither is there salvation in any other, for none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, He's the answer. He is the only answer. He is the only access to God Almighty, who is the author of life. All we need to do is make Jesus Christ Lord in our life. Let's go to Acts, if you would, please. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read a record here about the first sermon in the early church. Very early, because it was the first day of the church on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was first made available. All that God had wanted to happen was being unfolded on the day of Pentecost. The results of the completed works of Jesus Christ, Him dying, God raising Him up from the dead, Him being in His resurrected body for 40 days, and then ascending up to be with the Heavenly Father on the right hand, and then 10 days later on the day of Pentecost, gift of Holy Spirit, the new birth realities made available, the church as we know it today started on the day of Pentecost. And Peter got a little motivated, didn't he? God worked in his heart to teach, and this is what he shared. And we're going to pick it up in the latter part in verse 32, chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. He's teaching them the resurrection. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. What did they hear? What did they see? They saw speaking in tongues. That's what they did right in the beginning when they first received Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. So people saw this and they said, what in the world is this? And he's explaining what it is. It's the promise of the Father. For David is not ascended into the heavens. You know, everybody thought David was pretty neat. But it's not David that ascended up. He saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on the right hand. He's talking about God said unto my Lord. Who was David's Lord? Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. He recognized who that man was. Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. Sit thou on the right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. This is in Psalms 110:1. This is a quotation from this. Peter knew the word. In fact, he quoted a lot of Old Testament scripture during this sermon. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this that same Jesus whom you crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. Lord and Christ. God in his word just doesn't throw a few little descriptive words in here or haphazardly use words. Every word is used with a mathematical exactness and a scientific precision. They all have purpose. Here, God is communicating that both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, if you're a teacher, and at the end of the sermon, people say, hey, they get excited, they receive what you taught. Hey, what are we going to do? You know, I probably taught a pretty good sermon there, getting some response back. Hey, they saw something so fantastic, so tremendous, they wanted in on it. They wanted in on it. And they asked him, what can we do? Peter said unto them, repent. The word repent simply means change your mind. Just change your mind and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word Lord in the Greek is kurios, and it simply means one of authority. An owner with authority. We might use, if we had to say it in one word, master. Now, Jesus means Savior. He's one who saves. And Christ, the word Christ, is the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. So they asked, what should we do? And they said, hey, I've taught you about Jesus Christ. You need to recognize him and get born again of God's Spirit. He taught them the resurrection. Now listen, how do you get born again? Romans 10:9, right? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, significant, every word in there. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved, made whole. Okay, so Peter must have taught them that information. Look at verse 29, chapter 2. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that is of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not to be left in hell, or the word hell is grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So certainly they had the opportunity and did get born again of God's Spirit by believing that. By making Jesus what? Lord. Making Jesus Lord. Go to Romans here. Acts, Romans chapter 4. We're working this aspect of Jesus Christ our Lord and its significance and our understanding of this so that we can walk fully and completely as sons of God, tapping into the wonderful promises that he's made available. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now, it is not written, it was not written for his sake, 4:23, alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, shouldn't be a chapter there. Man added chapters. It really flows. Let it go here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's maybe a little bigger than we thought about before. I mean, being Jesus Christ is pretty good. But to be the Lord Jesus Christ, a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger. You know, we call him Lord when we got born again. Let's continue that confession of his lordship. We have his authority within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? Colossians 1:27. And that's why we can use his name with authority, because he is Lord. So why not, as we minister and serve, that we have that in our mind, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can use that name with great authority. You know, Dr. Victor Paul Weirwald, Ken mentioned his name. Wonderful man of God, taught me a good part of God's word that I know today. He made this statement: many people would like to have Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. They want a fire escape from hell, but not a lordship for learning. As we grow in our understanding of the significance of his lordship in our life, I believe we can walk with greater power, with greater authority. Let's go back to John, please. John 15. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, we're nothing. John 15. Verse 7, chapter 15 of John says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. This is a great key here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Pretty neat. You know, I forgot to read verse 5, huh? Let's read verse 5. I wanted to catch those two verses too. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Okay, now this fits a little better. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Boy, we want to get to that point that we can ask and see results. Answers to prayer. As we minister, that we see the results, the power of God. And we want to walk with all the authority that we have in Christ. And I think to help us do this, to understand the Lordship of Jesus Christ, will get us a little better in our heart, in our thinking as we minister, that we do have that authority, as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Philippians, Jesus Christ, he's the answer. He's the one. It's his name that's above all other names that makes all the difference in the world. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I told you we're going to be looking through the Bible here, getting a little finger exercise. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is a great man. No, a Lord. That he is Lord, that he has preeminence in our life. To the glory of God the Father. Let's get God's word abiding in us so we can ask with authority. It's a big deal, as we see here in this verse, to the Heavenly Father when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and we continue to do that. You know, I think we've taken this name for granted. You know, we say it, but do we really realize who this is that we're using? Who is this name, you know, Jesus Christ? We pray with that name. It's a big deal to God that we recognize who he is and that he is Lord in our life. Perhaps we need to renew our thinking and our love and respect for the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life to the extent that we can walk out with the great authority and confidence that we have as sons of God, using the name of Jesus Christ with boldness, because he is Lord. You know, it's interesting to note as you work God's word and read the Bible and the church epistles that are addressed to the believers, that in the beginning and at the end of each church epistle, the name Jesus Christ, the Lord, or the Lord Jesus Christ is used. Now, I think there might be one or two exceptions in there. But for the most part, God uses this, his name fully, Jesus Christ our Lord, or the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word has significance. God wouldn't use the word Lord unless it had great meaning. Let's look at several other places where the Lord Jesus Christ, the word Lord Jesus Christ is used. Okay, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians here, chapter 1. Now, Corinthians, what kind of book is Corinthians in light of doctrine, reproof, and correction? Reproof. And it's interesting to note in the first 10 verses, the word Lord is used 6 times. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, so that you come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Kind of making a point here. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Great emphasis of the Lord, that those Corinthians would recognize the authority of that word and of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. Ephesians 1:15. Let's look at a few of these here. 1:15, Ephesians. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith or your believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The text, the Greek text really reads, you're believing in Jesus as Lord. Again, it's hopefully you see that this is a little bigger. You know, we see Jesus Christ as Lord, Master. Let's look at 5:20, Ephesians 5:20. I mean, it's just really loaded. You see the word Lord referring to Jesus Christ a lot in the church epistles. 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great way to pray in recognition of that name, and it's the lordship of that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 6. This is a great exhortation here. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk ye in him. Walk in him. You know, with the renewed mind, we walk in him because he is the Lord. He is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith or the right way of believing as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. 3:24, chapter 3, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Pretty neat, huh? 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, to see this emphasis in the title of the name Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 2 Peter, let's go there. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. Of Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is kind of a little thing, but it's makes it a little bigger, I think, in our appreciation of who he is. He is our Lord. 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. This is kind of a neat verse here. But grow in grace. Great exhortation here. Grace is undeserved favor. Not only grow in grace, but it says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with authority because we have made Him Lord in our life. And we have the ability. We have Christ in us. You know, how do we make Him Lord in our life? We acknowledge Him, His presence. We acknowledge the truth of God's Word or who we are in Christ. We acknowledge that we're sons of God with rights, privileges, abilities. You know, we operate the Spirit of God in our life. We speak in tongues much. We operate the manifestations. We trust in God. We recognize that it is Christ in us and He is Lord. Let's go to Romans 13, please. I think this is our last verse here. I'll give you a rest after this. Romans 13. You know, we want to make Him Lord in our life. We did it when we got born again, and we still want to make Him Lord in our life. And it's being, you know, filled with what we have in Christ and recognizing our sonship rights. And this is a great exhortation here in Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's quite a contrast there, huh? But see, we're putting on not just Christ, not just Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Christ with all the great authority that He has. Now, I know it's not easy as we live, you know, each day, as we live our life and, you know, we try to think, okay, I'm a son of God. You know, I've got Christ in me. It's, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have that authority. And, boy, I'm going to just, you know, live today thinking about that. But then what happens? You know, we go to work. People are talking to us and a crisis comes up at work and this. And so we just have a tough time, you know, holding on to that thought. But boy, when those crises mellow down, or when we have that little bit of time, we, yeah, okay, I'm a son. And also when they do come, we approach those crises as sons of God. You know, not Bob Linfeld, flesh of his mom and dad, but Bob Linfeld, a son of God with Christ in him and with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can face each situation like that. So I know it's a challenge with all the opportunities we have during the day to maintain that mindset. I thought about that. I was driving up Wednesday to Temecula, where I teach at a career college up there, and it's early in the morning, and I'm going up there. It's a little over an hour drive, and I'm just speaking in tongues and just having a great time, you know, keeping my mind focused. I'm a son of God and praying and everything. And all of a sudden, I was in the two lane. You know, the one lane is the very slow lane. The two lane is the next one, and the passing lanes are three and four. And I admit I drive a little bit over the speed limit, but man, if I don't stay in that number two lane, these guys are really buzzing on three and four. So I stay out of their way. But here's a truck lined up in the one lane, and all of a sudden I'm going along, this truck pulls out right in front of me. And I go, whoa, and I turn over in the third lane. Luckily, nobody was there. And I start saying other words to this truck that I normally don't say. I got a little emotional. But you know what? Within seconds, wait a minute. Hey, I'm all right. I'm moving along. I'm past the situation. Hey, I'm still a son of God, didn't lose that. And I can still operate the Spirit of God. So why keep talking to that guy, telling him what he is and everything, when I should be talking to myself for who I am? You know, we all get bombarded with situations and things like that. And once we deal with them, they're gone. They're behind us. You know, they're behind us. Let's move on with who we are in Christ. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Let's decide that Jesus Christ is Lord, okay? and that we have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ to overcome and nullify and overturn any situation that the adversary would throw at us. And so this holiday season, when people are looking at the little baby Jesus Christ, let us remember who he became, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's focus on him as Lord in our life so that we can walk with power and authority by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? All right. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with thanksgiving that we can know a little bit about your love and greatness and how you've brought us into this wonderful family. And Father, I pray that we can continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we can walk even greater and better for you and be a wonderful glory to you. So Father, I pray for your people here as they have received your word and as they put it into their hearts and continue to work it, that they can walk even greater than ever before, believing your promises, witnessing your wonderful word to all those about them. And I pray that we can just continue to move ahead as your sons and daughters filled with the power of Holy Spirit within until Christ comes back. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.